You know what I noticed, though?
What?
I really like water.
Big water guy?
Huge water guy over here.
That's huge.
Are you a big water guy?
No, not one bit.
No? Like, your body's only made of, like, 98% water, whatever it is.
It's like 70.
Is it really?
Yeah.
We're going to have to look that one up. Anyway, we're live.
We are live.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Utterly Horrific Podcast, where we talk all things horror, all things scary, all things a little bit spooky up in here. I'm your host, Cole. Seated directly to my right is the man, the myth, the legend, one of my best friends in the entire world, Carter. What's going on, man?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for that. How are you?
I am very good. Very well.
Very well. A big grammar guy over here. Maybe not a big water guy.
Nope. I do not like water.
But he is a huge...
I would actually drink, honestly...
Grammar guy.
Anything other than water.
I see you have a Dr. Pepper in your hand right now.
I'm a big Dr. Pepper
Huge Dr. Pepper guy. The Forrest Gump.
Some would say that. Some would say I'm a Forrest Gump type of Dr. Pepper drinker.
We were just talking right before we went live that MGK dropped a new song.
Yes, we listened to it together. How'd you feel about it?
It was all right. I'm not a huge MGK guy. He's not bad. I know you're a massive MGK guy.
Yeah, I love him. I think he makes good music. His Pop punk. Yeah, punk. Pop punk.
You're a huge punk guy.
With, like, Mod, because Mod Sun makes the same music.
Even, like, some of the older punk guys, like Blink-182, I know you're a huge fan of.
But we both love Young Pinch.
I am a massive Young Pinch fan. Pinch, if you ever listen to the pod, if you ever stumble upon it, because it's huge, why don't you shoot us a message and get on? We'd love to have you. It's an open invitation to
Mr.
Pinch.
That would be huge.
That will never happen.
You don't know that. Maybe Young Pinch is a big horror fan.
He might be. I don't know. Probably not. And even if he is, he'll probably never hear this. But if you do, Mr. Pinch, hit us up. Hop on the pod. Stay for a while. Have a good time.
That'd be awesome.
Today we're going to do a little bit something different on this episode. How many episodes have we done?
We've done four.
Four episodes, all on specific horror films. Other than the second one. The second one was just The Conjuring.
Yes. Well, all of them were just one movie. Oh, The Conjuring, like the franchise.
The franchise,
okay,
just the three Conjuring films.
Yep.
But before we get into this, we're going to answer the trivia question from the previous episode, which was, what was the first horror film ever made? Carter's got that answer right now.
The answer of that question is The House of the Devil. Made in 1896.
1896.
Honestly, had no idea that they had equipment to make a film back.
It's a silent film. Yeah. I guessed on the last episode, I guessed Dracula from 31. But right after we went off air, you said what the answer was, and that was my second guess, was this one.
Yep.
I don't know if I've ever, like, actually watched it.
I don't even know how you could.
I don't even know how
you
could
get
it.
Your hands on.
I don't know, but I did know that was in that was like the first established horror film. But Dracula was the one that kind of put the genre on the map as of like scary movies.
Dracula,
big Dracula guy.
I know you are.
We're gonna do something as previously mentioned, a little bit different today. Where all the previous episodes we were talking about specific horror films, we are going to be talking about our top five. Favorite horror villains or favorite horror antagonists. I have a list of my top five. Carter's got a list of his top five. So we're going to get right into it. At number five, who do you got, man?
Starting at number five, I have, give me 1 second, I have Cujo.
Cujo?
Cujo? Okay. Let me explain.
Explain it. You have to explain all five of them.
I watched this movie when I was little. And when you're little, they stick with you, like those films.
It's true.
And I was terrified. I mean, that movie terrified me. Cujo, you watch that when you're little. I mean, you're already a little scared of dogs.
Yeah.
And then you see a killer dog. I mean, it's a fear, too. I mean, imagine being trapped in... Like, I think that's happened to me before. You've just been trapped in a spot by a scary dog.
You've been stuck in that situation?
Not in the exact situation, but I've been trapped. when the dog's holding me hostage.
You haven't been trapped by a dog, but you've been trapped when there's a dog in the vicinity.
Yes. Yeah, you got a point. You got a point. Okay, that's who I have at five. It's just, to me, it was honestly mostly when I watched it when I was little, so it really stuck with
me. So you're saying that because you were, like, younger, it made an impact on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that kind of stuck with you.
Mm-hmm. So who do you got for your number five?
For my number five of my favorite horror villains, I'm going with Seth Brundle from 1986, The Fly.
The Fly. I think that movie's goofy.
Dude, it is not goofy. It's a cinematic masterpiece.
Explain yourself.
Seth Brundle was played by Jeff Goldblum, who, have you ever seen the, you've seen him around, the apartment.com commercials?
Yeah.
That's Jeff Goldblum.
Really?
Yeah. I recognized him watching those. I was like, where do I know him from? He plays Seth Brundle in The Fly.
Interesting.
I just like the movie. I think The Fly is freaking awesome. It's a David Cronenberg film, so there's some sick body horror in it. It's a nice sci-fi piece. It's just awesome, dude. And especially from a decade where so many good horror films came out in the 80s. Like, you're talking the sequels to the Halloweens, Friday the 13th premiered in 80, Hellraiser, even like some lesser-known ones like The Stepfather. Super, super good movie. But like, the 80s was just such a good time for horror, and I think The Fly kind of took that, you know, the slasher craze that was going through the 80s and went kind of a different route when it comes, especially when it comes to David Cronenberg, where he's the more of the body horror sci-fi guy, and it was such a good movie.
If you guys don't know what the film is about, it's essentially, it's a man that builds
He's essentially building a teleportation device, and he's trying to impress this girl, so he's trying to get it to work. When he tests it on like a baboon or a monkey, it works. It teleports the baboon into the other teleporter that's across the room. So he's like, I'm going to try to impress this girl and I'm going to hop in it myself because I really want to see if this works. Well, he hops in it. Little did he know that a fly, like a bug, like the bug, a fly, was in the machine as well. So when he teleports, it like creates a mutation of him and the fly. But when he initially comes out of the teleportation device, right after he conducts the experiment, he's still a regular guy. But like throughout the movie, he's slowly transforming into this like real grotesque like fly human creature, and it is nasty.
It's goofy.
It's not goofy.
I'm sorry.
It's not goofy.
I'm sorry.
It's a cinematic masterpiece.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to call it goofy.
Before I get on my horse here, what do you have at number four?
Number four, Annie Wilkes.
Annie Wilkes, dude. Great one.
From
Misery.
Misery, yes. I watched this movie, I want to say a couple times, but it was another one that I watched when I was little.
We both watched this when we were younger.
A reason I think this is four is, first of all, she's just a psychopath. But also, four is because it's like a real life, like, fear that a lot of people have of being like held hostage.
Yeah. Abducted
and like the things that she did to that man, like that to me, it's just absolutely terrifying.
Well, I think it takes Misery is such a cool movie. Number one, because it is something that could, like, whether you believe in the supernatural or not, you cannot deny it. You know, like, some people will watch scary movies and they're not really so scared of the supernatural stuff because in their mind, they don't think that stuff can happen. You know what I mean? But in a movie like Misery, you cannot deny that situation where Paul Sheldon, the author, he's held hostage by a crazy fan.
It can easily happen.
It could actually happen to somebody. And it's not really, it doesn't have to be exactly like you're a famous person and a crazy fan that's obsessed with you holds you hostage. It's more of like, if anybody would hold you hostage, it's just a scary thought to think about.
That's why I have it at four. It's just such a... especially, again, I watched it when I was little, so it's just a...
It's such a good movie, dude. It's a really good movie for, like, around Christmas time with the whole snow setting and stuff, and... You know what I mean?
I prefer Elf.
Elf! Big Will Ferrell guy over here. Doesn't like water. Big grammar. Big pop punk guy. Big Will Ferrell guy. That's Carter.
Christmas time, I watch Elf. So who do you got for four?
At number four, I have Patrick Bateman, American Psycho.
Interesting.
Played by Christian Bale. I think it's hard. Like, if your list does not have Patrick Bateman on it, I'd be shocked. And from the look on your face, I don't think it does. Like, I've never heard somebody say they don't like American Psycho. Have you seen American Psycho?
Yes.
Like, that movie really puts you in the view and, like, almost the POV of, or it shows you how, like, a real narcissist behaves and how he's, like, manipulative. He's so selfish. He's so self-centered. And then you have this really weird twist at the end where, did he kill all these people? Did he go on this rampage? Did he do all of this? And it's such, like, a edge of your seat, really good movie that I always found, every single time I watch it, I find it super, super entertaining. And Patrick Bateman, Christian Bale plays him so freaking well, though.
Yeah.
Like, what a good actor to put in that role as Christian Bale. Love American Psycho. Love Patrick Bateman. Really, really, really entertaining movie. And there are some, like, just some scenes in there that are so iconic in the genre. Like, the Hey Paul.
Yeah.
Even, like, that's like, Ice Nine Kills.
Yeah, they made a song about it.
They have a
whole... Hello, Paul.
Hey, Paul. It's his But what a great, not only film, but a great character. Who do you got at three?
At three, we have Mama from Barbarian.
The mother from Barbarian. Okay.
I think they call it Mama in the film, right? That doesn't have a name.
It's like, the mother.
It's the mother,
yeah.
This movie, why I have it at three, she was straight up terrifying. She's like, in the film, she's like 8 foot.
Yeah.
And when you first get introduced to her, I remember when we first watched it, and she ran at Keith in the basement, smashed his head against the wall. I seriously jumped. Like,
That got me too.
Like, the introduction of her was terrifying.
You were not, like, you knew in that scenario. If you haven't seen Barbarian, go check it out, and you'll know exactly what scene we're talking about is when they first go into the basement and they find, like, the tunnels and the cellar and stuff. But you know that something's bad down there. But you were not expecting it to be an 8 foot giant naked lady.
It's seriously something on, like, your worst nightmare. Like, when you have, like, a dream, like a scary dream of, like, the boogeyman almost coming at you.
It's the mother. Absolutely, dude.
It's like 8 foot tall, running at you, full nude, terrifying. And I also like, I don't really know how to say it. Like, her character, I guess, like, how she was made. Like, it's just a sick.
It's sick.
All the film is so good.
From incest.
Yeah.
It's just an incest. Breeding the same.
It's sick. It's
family
just,
over and over. And you end up with this 8 foot tall mutation of a person that wants to play like a
She wants to love.
Yeah, that's just something that, like,
it's so weird. Like,
you don't get that until, like, you figure it out throughout the movie. But then at the very end, when she has Tess, like, she's trying to, like, cradle Tess and protect her, but it's freaky at the same time because she thinks that she's playing, like, this loving mother role.
Like, she, in her mind, she's, like,
a good person.
And she's just trying to protect her.
And then, but in the audience's eyes and the other characters in the movie's eyes, she's freaking terrifying.
Yeah.
And not only, like, does she look terrifying, but everything about her, like, the way that she moves, how she sounds is just, it's just creepy, dude. And I could totally agree that you have the mother from Barbarian at number three.
Who do you have at number three?
You're not going to like this.
Who is it?
You're not going to like this.
Is it Michael Myers?
No. This film, before I say this, is one of the best movies ever made. And if you don't agree with that, you are wrong. Carter will sit here and talk dirty on this movie all day, every day.
I'm trying to think what it is.
You know what movie it is.
I know what movie it is. I just can't think of
it. Bagul from Sinister.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you like Sinister? Before I get into this, I just need to know, why don't you like Sinister? Do you think it's boring?
In a way. Before we watched this, I feel like there was so much, like, you guys were hyping it up so much, like, how scary it was and all this. I watched it and was, like expecting to be spooked.
You are spooked. That whole movie's, like, nail-bitingly good.
I was expecting, I guess, okay, I was spooked, but I was expecting to go to, because we watch it at night, I was expecting to go to bed spooked, being, like, You know when you watch, like,
uncomfortable.
For me, The Conjuring.
Yeah.
Like, you're paranoid when you go to sleep. Nothing. Like, I don't even remember a lot of what Sinister was about.
That's probably why I don't like it. You have to watch it again.
It's because I didn't think it was good. When I think a movie is good, I remember that film.
I'll fight you right now.
We'll watch it again, and then maybe I'll change my opinion.
We'll have to do an episode on it.
Okay.
Because Sinister is in the top 10 of my favorite movies of all time. Not, like, it's just so freaking great. Ethan Hawke does such a good job as the main protagonist. I believe his name, who plays Bagul, is Nicholas King. I know he has, like, no lines in it, but, like, just the way he moves portrays Bagul so well. He is such a freaking terrifying character. And the first time that you see him, you are like, what? What is this? Why are you in that pool?
What?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You cannot deny that he is scary.
He's scary, but was I spooked? Did he spook me? No.
He should have spooked you.
He should have
spooked you to the bones.
He clearly didn't do his job.
No, I love Bagul. I think that he is, like, such a freaky looking character. What he does in the movie and how he, like, possesses kids to kill their family, that's creative. And I love the movie, and I love Bagul, the character himself, mainly because of his looks and how little he's in the movie, but at the same time how impactful he is, if that makes sense. Like, what a cool movie, and what a cool character. You got it too.
At two, I have Vlok, demon nun from The Conjuring and the Nun series and whatnot. I have her there because she's absolutely terrifying. Her looks are terrifying. Like, imagine, like, I think I'm pretty sure it's in the movies, but imagine waking up in the middle of the night, having to go pee, walking out your door, looking down the hallway, and you see that.
Yeah.
Like, that is so terrifying.
Yeah, that scene in Conjuring 2 that we're talking about.
Oh my.
Where Lorraine and her daughter looks down the hallway and she points at it.
Yeah.
And then Lorraine sees it, and it's just down that hallway. And kind of speaking on that, there is the way that that is set up is, I don't remember exactly what it's called, but it's when a specific shot in a movie is completely, like, symmetrical. They do it a lot in The Shining. I don't remember what it's called, but it's like, just terrifying. It's for some reason, it's scarier when everything in that shot, if you split it right down the middle, it's even on both sides. And if you notice in that hallway, if you were to split that shot right down the middle, it's almost identical on both sides. Because it almost focuses your eyes. It forces your eyes to, like, focus right at exactly what they want you to focus on, and which is the nun.
Yeah.
And I agree. Like, Vlok is, she is a cool character. And I would actually put her up with Bagul. I think that she's, like, and as, like, unoriginal as you think it is, like, a demon nun, like, that's not
the way,
so
the,
like, creative,
the, makeup,
the way
they make her,
yeah,
look.
It's
who plays her, because I mean, perfect face.
Her name, I know
also her name. Another thing I want to touch on is, I almost think the Nun movies kind of ruined it.
Yeah, the Nun movies are not,
they're not
the first one is really bad. The second one I thought was better, but the first one was just, like, it was such a stereotypical scary movie, and you're just like, there's no, like, subcontext to any of this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just a scary movie that relies on jump scares, and when you have films like that, the jump scares better be really, really good. But in a movie like The Nun, it wasn't anything special, at least to me. I'm sure people really like it, mainly for that shock value of the jump scares and the, you know, the gothic setting and the nun herself, Vlok. But for me, it was take it or leave it. I wouldn't, like, go out there and recommend that movie, but it wasn't awful, though.
Yeah, I mostly have Vlok at two because of how absolutely terrifying she is. She's really good in the Annabelle and Conjuring movies.
Yeah.
That's where she's perfect.
Yeah. That character was really, really well portrayed in the second Conjuring. I think that was a, you know, it's kind of a sneaky little addition into the second Conjuring movie.
Yeah, the second Conjuring, she's not in it till late,
and then you figure out.
And then
that's
the Annabelle one, she just kind of, man, I forget which one it was. It's when they're at Ed and Lorraine's house for most of it. They did really good with her.
Yeah.
Who do you have at two?
Carter T. If you didn't like Bagul, you're definitely not going to like this one.
Is it Michael?
It is Mikey. Michael Myers. You hate Michael Myers.
I had a point. Yeah. I had a point. Actually had him on my list. Because when we were talking about what we should do for this, you said top five favorite horror villains, like mine.
Yeah.
When I was first making it, I was like thinking the top five, and I was like, I have to put him in there because he's so iconic.
Oh, you were thinking like the most five iconic. So you probably have Freddy, Jason, Mikey, Leatherface, and probably Ghostface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, if it's mine, switch it up. But why do you have Michael?
He's iconic.
Yeah.
Dude, when you think
he
of
did,
like,
he did create like the best horror franchise out there.
Yeah, one of the greatest and most iconic and famous horror franchises ever came from Michael Myers, Halloween. When you think of not the movies Halloween, but like Halloween season, October, you're going to think of Halloween.
Yeah.
And everything about that movie is so freaking awesome. We're talking the original 78, where Nick Castle plays Michael Myers. Like, everything about that movie is so great. Yeah, even like the score, the soundtrack to it from John Carpenter is awesome, dude. But I like Mikey mainly because in some of those slashers from the late 70s and especially the 80s, they're a lot of like the same thing where you have somebody, and I guess Mikey's the same way, where it's very simple. Guy usually has a knife and he's chasing after a bunch of people. But in Halloween, you have Michael Myers, who doesn't run. He doesn't move fast, which I think is awesome.
I think it's stupid.
I think it's cool.
Put him in a hole.
It adds like a cool little twist to it. Like, he's so calm and collective, you know what I mean, that he doesn't have to run.
Which is like why it would be so easy to get a – we fight about this all the time. But it would be so easy to get away from this man.
I mean, I don't – fine. You're right. Whatever. But kind of adding on to what I was just saying was, like, in a lot of these slashers, and I'm talking, like, Friday the 13th, Sleepaway Camps, all those, like, The Prowler, My Bloody Valentine, they're chasing, like, a group of people. Yeah. Mikey is going after one person, and if you happen to get in his way, you happen to get in his way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's going after Jamie Lee Curtis, and that's who he wants. So that's why I have Mikey. He's different. You know what I mean? He's going after Laurie Strode.
Now, what happens if Laurie would have, like, flew to Europe or something?
That's a good point.
Because if Mikey would have tried to follow her, he's not getting through security with a knife.
No, he's going to have to find a European knife.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he got one.
At one, I have Ghostface.
Ghostface. I knew that was coming.
Now, mostly because it's my favorite movie, horror film, but also absolutely just iconic. You think of horror movies, Ghostface is going to be up there. I also like about Ghostface is the fact that he what is it? All these like what you were talking about, it's like the same like.
Oh, adding just on to my point, huh? Mm?
Yeah. So, anyways, like there's just like Jason and like Freddy and stuff. It's just a guy with a knife. But with Ghostface, you got a point. It's just a guy with a knife, but there's two. And I also like how it's not the same. Like, so Jason is just Jason again, Jason again. It's a new killer.
Mm-hmm.
It just adds like a, so like the next movie, you don't know who it is. It adds a mystery aspect. I just love that about Ghostface.
Yeah, kind of what you were saying is that it adds a little bit more dimension to the movies when you have the next movie of the exact same franchise, so Scream, you don't know who that killer is underneath that mask, as in kind of as you mentioned, where in Friday the 13th, other than the first film, you know it's Jason.
Yeah.
You know it's Jason Voorhees, and there's actually another one. I want to say it's like Friday 5 or something where it's not Jason as the killer. It's something like that. But for the most part, like, you know it's Michael Myers, you know it's Jason, but you don't know who Ghostface is.
Yeah, it's Ghostface, but you don't know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I love about Ghostface is the comedic value he brings to the table. He's just such a clumsy young man. He is
incredibly clumsy.
And that's why I have...
Especially in the first one.
Oh, yeah, dude,
the dude really would fall over a thumbtack.
Yeah.
Like, he would barrel roll over a chair.
You would think that his shoes were tied together.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
With some of his movements. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when he gets to six, he's a stone cold killer.
He's a killer, yes.
Who do we got for at one for you?
At one for me, I'm sorry. Kind of going down the same path as you. It's just not Ghostface. I went in my favorite horror movie of all time, Psycho from 1960.
Norman Bates,
dude, played by Anthony Perkins. I think there's a little bit of a resemblance, if not a lot of a resemblance, between Norman Bates and Patrick Bateman, in that they are both, I don't know the right word. I don't think that Norman Bates would technically be called narcissistic, but I think they're both just so not saying that, like, whoever plays Ghostface, for example, like Stu Mocker, not saying that he was right in the head, but I think Patrick Bateman and Norman Bates both have this, like, sociopath tendency to them where it drives them to do really, really, really bad things, like kill people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, like, I'm not saying that like, we'll go back to Stu Mocker. Like, obviously, the dude was not okay. That's why he was killing people.
No, Stu was in a tough space.
Very bad space. But I think, like, Patrick Bateman, who I had at three, I believe, or four? Four. Patrick Bateman has these underlying conditions. He's a narcissist. He's a sociopath. Norman Bates is definitely a psychopath, sociopath. But he has these multiple personality disorder where he thinks that he's his mother, and he ends up, you know, doing these awful things that are killing people. And I think that's kind of where we blend Patrick Bateman and Norman Bates, is with these underlying mental health conditions. And I really that's my favorite part of that movie, is the twist at the end where you figure out that Norman Bates, who this whole time we just thought was a regular guy, and you think that it's his mother that ends up killing the girl, we figured out that he's got this multiple personality disorder where he is his mother, or he thinks that he is his mother. And I think that's just such a... That's
I remember watching that movie for the first time when he is in... where was he in? Like, the police station?
Yeah.
Right at the end.
At the very end, yeah.
With the fly flying around. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting goosebumps.
There you go.
That was just really good.
And where he's like... In his head, he's saying, I'm not even going to kill this fly. I'm gonna set an example as a person who wouldn't even harm a fly, and they're going to look at me and say, that man couldn't have done this. He wouldn't even hurt a fly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's why I have Norman Bates at number one. Number one, it's my favorite movie. It's my favorite horror film of all time. Number two, I think some of those underlying conditions, which ends up being the whole twist of the film, is that he is his mother. But I think that those really make Norman Bates special.
Yeah, we had some pretty good lists.
I'm shocked that we didn't have
a single crossover.
Nope, not one crossover in that. I really thought we'd have at least one.
Same.
I thought you were gonna have Norman Bates.
I was thinking about it. I was debating like a five spot. Mm-hmm. But I
wondering, who's your favorite off my list?
Off your list. So who'd you have? You had The Fly, of course.
I had
not
Seth
that.
Brundle from The Fly.
It's not Mikey. It's not
Bagul.
Bagul.
I had Patrick Bateman. And Norman Bates.
It's probably going to be Norman.
Mm-hmm.
Norman was, I mean, he was about to make my list. So yeah.
That's a great movie.
Who would you have taken for my list?
I would have taken Annie Wilkes.
Yeah.
Annie Wilkes is one that I wish I would have put probably, as much as I hate to say it, I probably would have put Annie Wilkes over Michael Myers.
Really?
Yeah. I love Misery, dude.
I know you do.
What a great movie. That's one of the favorite things in my collection, is that Misery poster.
Yeah, you've told me. Mm-hmm. You like that one.
I'm shocked that none of us had anybody from, like, the Conjuring movies or the Insidious movies, like
the old lady
the
from
old
Insidious.
Lady, or actually... even the lady in the white dress who's actually ends up being the old lady's mom that you figure out.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
When the heck did that happen?
That the lady in the white dress?
Yeah.
All right, little sidetrack here. So in the Insidious movies...
Sorry, it's been a long time since I've watched
No,
them.
So you have the... Oh, man, what is her name? What is that? lady's name. We're just going to call her the old lady in the black wedding dress killer.
Yeah.
And you see her, and she's an old lady.
She's terrifying.
She's not a lady at all.
That's a man?
That's a man. And you see in Insidious 2, I believe, when they go to the hospital, and the grandma, I cannot remember any characters' names. The guy who plays Patrick, or the character who's played by Patrick Wilson, mm-hmm. So the dad.
The dad, yeah.
His mom is in the hospital with that group of people, and they're trying to figure out what is going on. She worked at that hospital. I want to say they like found some records or something, some old paperwork or something. And she ends up telling the story about how Parker Crane, that's his name. Parker Crane. I'm almost 100% sure that's his name. That lady in the first one that you see in the white dress.
Yeah.
That is Parker Crane's mom. His mom wanted a girl. So in that, I don't know if you remember, in the hospital scene, you see this young boy who's being like makeup, yeah. And then her mom, the girl in the white dress, screams at her for that picture that he drew.
Yeah.
And then is essentially telling Parker that you are not a boy, you are a girl. So he ends up growing up to kill people in that black wedding dress. Yeah, that's a guy.
Man.
That's a guy.
The Lord. We need to rewatch mm-hmm. those, dude.
That's a guy who grew up with an abusive mom that constantly belittled him and berated him and told him that you are a girl. So he grew up with like such a mindset that I don't even know how to describe it. But yeah, he grew up to kill people in that black wedding dress.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
A little conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. Another one is the demon from Insidious.
Red lipstick demon?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you know Darth Maul from Star Wars, right?
I knew you were going to do this.
I think Darth Maul...
They do look oddly similar.
They stole that look from Darth Maul.
You know what? The guy who plays the red lipstick demon, it's Joseph something, or it's something Joseph. Either his first name is whatever, and then it's Joseph, or Joseph, and then something. He actually does the whole score, the whole soundtrack for the movies.
Really?
Yeah, he's the composer for that.
What a talented man. Mm-hmm.
He has done a lot for that franchise. If you didn't know, like if you didn't look it up, I would not have known if I didn't like look up who played that, and then you figure out how much he actually does for that franchise. It's pretty sweet. Yeah. And that, the score, the soundtrack from Insidious is good.
Yeah.
It's so, when that title card hits and you have like those screeching violins almost, mm-hmm. that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, we need to rewatch
those. I think that's going to have to be an episode coming up.
Insidious movies.
Yeah. What a great franchise. But I really thought that your list was good.
Thank you. I enjoyed your list too. I liked making this one.
Yeah, this was a different. This is kind of a different episode.
It brought our creative juices out.
It had them flowing.
Yeah,
it had them flowing. But with that being said, you got anything else to add to the pod tonight?
I do not. Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, thanks guys for tuning in. Appreciate it. Until next time, peace.